This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey Voltron fans, we're back! It's been a holiday, it's been the final season, we are super excited to be here. We are looking at Season 8, Episodes 1 and 2. We have a very special guest with us tonight, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You know what, chat? We're not going to tell you why we picked this song. Y'all can guess. First person to get it right gets a shout out.
Hello. How like hard is it?
Fairly straightforward.
I mean, yeah.
If you know the band.
Yeah, but usually I feel the need to explain logic. But whatever, they can guess. They're smart. They're good people. Oh, welcome back, everyone. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 8, the final season, you guys. Episodes 1 and 2, Launch Date and Shadows. I have with me Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. And we have the one, the only Emperor Sarkon, Neil Kaplan.
Hi, everybody.
Is very happy to be here.
I'm always happy to hang with the two of you. You know? Getting over the fact that, you know, like, we're missing an arm and a couple of legs, but what the heck, you know? It's kind of like Voltron went off to Vietnam. But anyway.
He's got, like, the torso, the head, and one arm.
Yeah
that's what's going on right now.
Wasn't that a monster in Gravity Falls?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, kind of. It was a head and an arm.
There you go.
Good enough.
The
Hi,
most
everyone.
Important parts. I mean, what good would it be if all you had was a couple of legs?
I mean, and then a kicker, sir.
Thank you.
Cue obligatory, we don't have a leg to stand on, Joe.
Hey! But we are well armed. And we've got our heads in the game. I wouldn't have gone there if you hadn't opened the door. You realize this.
Yeah, well, you know, I play evil for a reason.
As Sabrina says, hi, says, technically two heads and one arm. You know what? I'll take that.
There we go.
Let's get as horror movie monster as we possibly can.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so glad that we got some more Sarkon in this season.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise for me.
Did you? What was it like getting that script?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. It was so long ago, to be honest with you. I mean, we probably recorded it, I'm guessing, like almost a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
You know?
With the animation pipeline, that makes sense. Well, welcome back.
Hi.
Let's talk about that first. We are going to go right to the life and times of Onerva, eat, pray, and loving her way across the universe.
Let's talk about launch date and how, you know, it really, that name stands for two different things. And, you know, frankly, it was one of my favorite, because I'm not in that, so I never saw the script. And it was one of my favorite opens, you know, with Pidge watching the show. That was just so meta. It was just like, oh, you guys are good. That was just a lot of fun. And it totally makes sense that they would, you know, if there is TV then, that they would make a show about these defenders of the universe, you know, because it hasn't been long enough for them to become legendary yet.
Wait for it.
They're defenders of the universe for right now.
Yeah, so that took me by surprise. And, I mean, even little things like Pidge drawing the Pidge picture. I mean, I love whenever I see something that kind of mixes animation, you know, like that. That's always fun for me, you know. And it's like, oh, look, it looks like she's drawing with a pencil, you know. And it was just fun. And I kept, especially after, you know, like watching the TV, then suddenly when the game, you know, when the game shows up, I'm trying to like twist my head so I can look at the box to see if that's something I should recognize. You know, is that a logo? Is that a game? Yeah. I mean, this, they were so good about slipping in just little things that I think people are going to be able to watch and rewatch this series for a long time and pick up all these little Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll say matzo balls, you know, if you have a problem with Easter eggs. lots of matzo balls to be found throughout the series.
I think that's a challenge that any reboot of a show or any new carnation of a show that's a part of a long-running franchise, I think that's always a challenge that the show has to address is, like, how do we pay homage to everything that came before?
Do we even acknowledge it? Or is it just, you know, I mean, thank goodness, you know, TV has caught up to comic books with this whole notion of multiverse. So now you can actually do stuff like that. So people can go ahead and say, well, that's the legendary Defender universe, and this is the Defenders of the Universe universe, and they can both kind of exist in their own way. But yeah, just the blending of the two and acknowledging and working it in certainly was, I think, a great tip of the cap, and it wasn't like they went out of the way to force feed it. That's the thing that I loved so much about it. Is like at first I'm going, what the? She's watching this show about herself. God, that's genius. It works so well for me. I loved it.
And then it becomes part of the plot with the fashion montage that we have later.
Plus, that's the way she's able to get the game. You know, she trades on her fame, you know, which never works for me at conventions. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, I go over and try to get the Madara Uchiha doll, and they go, I'm the voice, and they go, that's nice.
But it's actually me, I promise.
Yeah, but it's not based on me, so that's why Pidge is even more of a celebrity, because it's based on Pidge.
I'm the real thing.
Yeah, I know.
I have to wonder about Bex doing that voice. Like, did they put a filter on their voice, or are they just able to pull that
out? You know,
that's
one of those things that, because, you know, I don't see the show, I don't see the script, so I didn't know, so I'm just watching this and finding out myself. I'm like waiting for our rain check lunch date. You know, which is long overdue, but this time now I can ask that question. You know, it's like, was that you? You know, was that a stunt voice? You know, is that something you had been working on for a while and said, hey, let me show you what I could do? It's just, that's a mystery for me.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was them, to be honest. Like, I would not be at all surprised to find out that that was one of their talents.
Oh, yeah.
I can sound like every incarnation of Pidge ever. That's my superhero origin story.
Well, because OG Pidge has, you know, it's definitely a product of its time, and I don't want to rag on any of the voice acting, because it was so different dubbing anime back then. It was a completely different process. And so, like, I don't want to rag on
Well, it's not about the process, but it's a matter of style. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, all of a sudden taking, you know, a scene from Step Brothers and putting it in the middle of Terms of Endearment.
It's incongruous.
You know, it's like, right, but if you somehow edit it so it's on the TV in the background, okay.
Yeah, it works.
That's something that could be watched, but as far as, you know, it's just the different style, because I think there's still anime that has that same kind of feel to it.
Of like we're being Voltron. Over the top.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But but then again, there's standard animation that's like that. That's the beauty of art, I guess, is that and storytelling is that you can mix it up that way. We're not in a genre right now. Even though there's hyper realistic acting in a lot of animation, it's not everything.
Yeah.
And we still have goofy and we still have silly, you know?
And you need that.
I agree. So I don't know that it was a product of its era as much as just that was the style in the moment.
It was, you know? Go ahead.
your
first, go ahead. We can't be jinxed on a podcast, oh no.
Well, you can just keep the camera on me for an hour.
I mean, they will.
but it's definitely part of the style. And the original cast was also so small that, much like you guys often double up on voices.
See, and now we can also talk about how much fun was that Honda commercial with the original voices.
Oh, what?
Wait, have you not seen this?
No.
Yeah, and you haven't heard of it?
No.
Do people not, like, have the internet?
You know,
oh my gosh, tweeted at us. No.
I mean, that's true.
Tweetverse, I'm disappointed in you. No, they did. They did it. They've been doing these Honda commercials where they bring back, like, classic toys.
Oh my God.
Did they bring back the original Voltron?
They have the original Voltron because, you know, it's, you know, Defender of the Universe Voltron, and they brought back the original cast and did the commercial, and
internet?
You gotta look this up.
Wait, is
nobody commenting in the little thingy Madoo?
Everyone's like, what?
All of you question have marks? Failed me.
Wait, are
Lotor's
they,
mouth, wait, I'm calling you out.
Hold on.
I saw that on my Instagram feed and I screamed, and you didn't share it with us?
Hold on. So they're whatting you or they're whatting me?
You.
Wait, so they're whatting me like it doesn't exist, or they're like whatting you for not seeing it?
They're doing the same thing we are.
Are you kidding me? Somebody go to the internet right now and take a look at this and at least confirm that I didn't have a seizure and imagine this.
There are a few people in chat saying, oh, I've seen this one. Oh, I saw it around Christmas. Like I said, Lotor's mouth said that they saw it on their Instagram feed and just stared at it. And I'm like, curses, Lotor's mouth, why didn't you send us that?
By the way, shout out to AJ, because one of the funniest things that he said all weekend long, or anybody said all weekend long, was, you know, somebody asked about, have you seen these accounts which are dedicated to your characters? And of course, you know, there's no Zarkon, whatever. But AJ said, yes, and I'd like to shout out to all of my body parts. It's like, wow, taking out of context, that's kind of weird. Actually, taking in context, that's kind of weird. Yeah. You know?
To everyone who says they found it, put it in the hashtag.
Please.
And I can't believe I forgot to do this at the top of the show. We have the live chat, obviously. We have the hashtag, EBTV Voltron. And we're only talking about the first two episodes because I guess there are people in chat who have only seen the first two episodes so far. Oh my God, how?
Yeah, guys.
I'm
so
surprised?
We're not supposed to talk about the Star Trek Voyager crossover at the end of the season?
Yeah, we're waiting for that.
Lo siento mucho.
Yeah, so for those of you who have links, you can't put links in a YouTube chat unless you are the moderator. So throw them in the hashtag and we can all have it because the hashtag is forever, but the chat goes away.
I'm also really disappointed that nobody told me. I'm so sad.
I mean, they did that one and they did the Ninja Turtles. They did the original Ninja Turtles as well.
Oh, that's so cool.
How have they not done Transformers? Like,
rights issues, it's a car commercial. I don't know.
Universal just being obstinate, I suppose, maybe.
Legit, and also
I
they
think
have
it would
a
be Paramount.
Maybe.
I don't think you're,
Universal kind of own them? I don't know.
I think they just borrow them for the theme park.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like Universal doesn't own Harry Potter, but if you want to go to Harry Potter land, you go to Universal.
This is true.
Paramount's a different studio, not under the NBC Universal umbrella, as far as I know.
Yet.
Give it time.
Welcome to ABTV Voltron, where we discuss copyright and theme parks.
Our new copyright podcast.
Yes. Oh my God. I do love that they integrated this. I do love Hunk's like four sentence, 10 second review about the similarities and differences and how it's fun. It's really different. And they did this thing really differently, but it's still fun. And I'm like, you are the best. Thank you. We do things differently. We can still enjoy them.
And speaking of Hunk, wasn't it nice in launch date to see some family
yes.
a little bit more?
Here's all our family recipes, and here's the lemon cake. Like, oh. Yay, I'm so glad you were able to rescue your family and everyone was okay. That could have been really bad.
That was such a, like, emotionally devastating aspect of the last season, right. was just seeing Hunk in this very dark, trying place. And, yeah, to bring it back around, and, you know, it all turned out okay. That's
Well, because he had a very tough Australian commando there to lead the raid and help out.
Who was that mysterious man?
I don't know. Well, maybe he was related to the guy, the Galra guy that we'll talk about in episode 2.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of punk.
Yup. Sorry. People asked this weekend about our favorite other characters, you know, and so Laika came up and people were talking about, you know, what have you learned? What did you learn from your characters? How did you grow? And it's like that comes over to me. And it's like, what did I learn from playing somebody who's just totally evil? You know, and I went. Of course, I said something horrible. You know, so
how to make friends and influence people, right?
No. I said it was a biblical lesson. You know, you know, slaying of the firstborn.
Oh my anyway, God.
And that's a joke. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. I'm kidding. And so, because I'm with two of the most positive, wonderful people in the world, Kimberly Brooks and Josh Keaton, who are like, always be positive, because, I mean, there's so many great things to learn from Allura and Shiro about overcoming adversity and sticking to your beliefs. And those are valuable lessons. And thank goodness that we had such strong characters to give us those lessons. And so I just go, so what I really learned was from Laika, always remain positive. Yup.
Rin in chat says, don't do quintessence, kids.
Exactly.
Don't do drugs. Don't be a zombie. Don't listen to peer pressure, especially when you know it's wrong.
You know, if I had my druthers, I would say, you know, on occasion, some good music has been written under certain influences, but nothing good has happened from dabbling in quintessence, people. Please, just say no.
No good can come from it.
No.
I need that Zarkon PSA, and then having it end in like that little star.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it's the Black Lion.
The
more you know.
And
that problem would be gone forever.
Absolutely. It always gets nice and dark when I come in here, doesn't it?
It gets nice and dark regardless of who's in here, because I'm here and I take it there.
Okay.
That's why breaking Alexis is a trope in this show.
Aww. We love you, Alexis.
We love you. We miss you. You're probably not watching right now because it's 1 a.m.
Let's talk about the mall, another mall trip, this time actual shopping, because in Space Mall, people don't really shop.
Yeah, they just get in knife fights and run from security.
And make food and get free cows.
Find video game systems that they don't have the right adapters for.
Now, will that game work on that system? Did we ever find that out?
Doesn't matter. They don't have the game anymore.
I would hope that they had the system for it.
I mean, as someone
Well, if not Pidge could rig something.
Oh, absolutely.
Like between Pidge and Rezavi, one of them had it.
Oh, yeah. And Rezavi is my new favorite.
She's so great.
Her last season, and this season it's just like, can she be in every episode? She is my queen. I love her so much.
We need spinoffs, people.
Rezavi and Leif's daughter?
Yeah.
I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. But both of them added to this mix. Because Ramel is always so much fun, too. Right.
Ramel and Hunk are the best wingmen in this episode.
Yeah.
That day would not have happened if it weren't for Ramel and Hunk working together.
Well, yep. Duh. I mean, but that's the way a lot of romances start, is by having, you know, Carrie Fisher push from one side and whoever Tom Hanks had on his side, and I don't remember.
I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
It wasn't when Harry met Sally, you know, it was Sleepless in Seattle, wasn't it?
I've never seen it from beginning to end.
Oh, no.
I've only seen it once.
The ending at the airport to the end when the credits
Isn't there some show we're supposed to be talking about and I keep dragging you elsewhere? I'm so sorry.
We have something else that needs to be on a shirt. Zad, Z-A-D-D, Zarkon against drug dealing.
Z-A-Q-D.
Ooh.
That's harder to put. Zax.
Zach.
Gesundheit.
That does sound like a word in Galra, though.
Doesn't it, though?
Does. That sounds like a Galra general.
I think that's going to be the next one.
Actually, it should be GACT, I guess. Galran's against quintessence distribution. Please. Quintessence abuse.
That GACA. Do it in the DARE font.
GACA, right. There you go.
GACQA,
there you go.
I've already made the Vrep It Sorry shirt. I need to put this one on my list.
Well, this weekend was a whole lot of Vrep It Sec anime, so yeah.
Yeah.
See, the pictures looked amazing.
We had a good time. You know, you get enough of us together, and it's like, oh my gosh, run free!
I feel like enough of you guys is like two.
I think it's got to be a triad or better, you know? Yeah.
That's true. You have to outweigh the good decisions with the bad decisions.
Thank you. Because if it's two, then it's like you get to loggerheads and just, you know, kind of stay. But
We have the commercial in the hashtag.
Yes, nice. From like four different people. Y'all are the best.
Going to watch it as soon as the show's over.
Speaking of commercials, we do have this great little shopping and fashion montage. And I love these ridiculous outfits that Allura winds up in, and that one of them is her OG outfit.
That made me really happy.
It was fun.
I loved that Rommel's was basically, ooh, this looks shiny, wear it. Because there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Did you see the one where she had a croc on one foot? That particular outfit made me, just the one croc made me really angry. The rest of the outfit was adorable.
Was that Rommel's?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There was probably only one croc available. The fact that they found a matching good condition outfit and jewelry at all after the mostly apocalypse is amazing.
Well, but I mean, doesn't that make sense to wear something sparkly when you can finally, the sun's finally out and you can finally enjoy life again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's more to the point that it wasn't completely wrecked.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah.
You
know. Oh, someone in chat says, what are those? Like, okay, yep. We're never going to let that meme die. Yep.
But no, there's just sacrificing the video game so that Allura could have this outfit was really sweet. It was both heartbreaking and sweet because on the one hand, it was both Rizavi and Pidge sacrificing for Allura and Lance.
And I'm going to put this in terrible, terrible context for a lot of you. Kingdom Hearts 3 drops in a couple of weeks. Imagine looking forward to that for 10 years. And never getting to play it, having it in your hands, and knowing that you will never have the time to play it. That's what just played out here. There you go. I have humanized that for you and made myself very sad.
On an unrelated note.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna slightly disagree. Because I think, you know, on a slightly serious note, when you've survived an apocalypse, when you've survived, you know, almost being destroyed, your planet, yourself, your family, your friends, whatever, and you've got the opportunity to make a friend happy, you know, as opposed to play a game. I mean, I can actually see that Pidge making that selfless maneuver and being totally okay with it, you know? So, yeah, maybe it's Kingdom Hearts 3, but imagine that you've spent the 10 intervening years in solitary confinement. You know, so then maybe you sit there and go, I was hoping to play the game, but I'm just glad to be outside and seeing the sunshine again. So if that's the cost, all right. Or, you know, you get back and you see your little brother or your little sister and it's a chance to make them happy. So that to me was another one of those very Pidge-like selfless maneuvers where it's like, oh my God, I still want to do. Oh, if I give this up, it'll make you happy. Okay. And it's just, that's another one of those reasons we adore Pidge.
There wasn't even a whole lot of hesitation. It was like, here you go.
Yep. And if you consider how freaking happy they were when they saw it, it's like, oh my God, he's Jesus! then you really come to understand and value, you know, Pidge doing that, is it really that different from what Lance said to her?
point.
Yeah. It's just, it's showing how you care through actions too. Even the fact that Pidge was out there shopping with them at all, as Colleen points out, you know, Pidge doesn't like shopping.
Yeah, but that also could have been just getting out of the house and not being grounded anymore. So,
Colleen is my hero. Colleen is, like, Rosavi is my queen. Colleen is my hero. Oh my God, she's amazing.
And why is that?
Because she's an incredible human being, and she, I think, keeps that family together.
Okay.
Like, she is the one that makes sure that all of the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And you can kind of see this. Like, you've got the guys in the family who, you know, they're the science-y types. They went off into space, and they had to learn to be rough and tumble. And then you have the women of the
family. And they also got themselves, you know,
like,
into a precarious situations from which they needed to be rescued.
And you have the women who are like, all right. Cracks knuckles, cracks neck, let's go.
Well, that's the crux
and then
of it.
Things get done.
That's the crux of it. Well, is you see where Pidge got it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But certainly, you know, when she's yelling at Pidge about, I don't care that you saved them, you didn't have my permission.
I wrote that entire quote down while we were watching it, and it's like a 3-line quote, and I wish my Google Drive would load so I could read it off because it's amazing. It's like, you were on the live chat too long. I thought you didn't need me anymore.
Uh-oh.
Although we are going to have to cover the rest of the episode fairly quickly because I can't see the timer. Can you help me with that? But I know that we are going to start running out of time.
Oh, no. And we haven't even talked about...
There we go. She's grounded.
She's
grounded because apparently my daughter thinks that running away from home and gallivanting off into space without her mother's permission is an acceptable activity for a 15-year-old.
And then Pidge yells back, you know, that I saved Dad and Matt.
Guess that doesn't count for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And she
basically says, you're right, it doesn't count.
I love the terrifying double voices that we wind up with for both of them. It's just, it's a thing of wonder and glory, and I absolutely adore it. The whole family is the best. Family goals.
So I guess we should, like, speed through the rest.
All right, I'll shut up and let you talk about the rest of the episode.
Talk about the rest of the episode with us.
No, go ahead. Because all I do is interrupt and sidetrack. It's okay. They're fun sidetracks.
You say that like it's not fun.
It's a blast.
Yeah, we have a moment with Keith and Lance having a conversation and watching the sunset atop the Black Lion, and I think both times I sat there and yelled, when did you get to be such a good leader? 'Cause he did! It's... You see Keith from the beginning of the series, and then you see how far we've come, and for me it's encapsulated in this moment with this conversation with Lance. And the same with Lance. We've gone from lover boy tries way too hard at everything, creates a rivalry in his head, Lance, to, my God, he's an adult. They're both adults. What happened? And it's been beautiful character development on both their parts.
Did you notice the difference in Jeremy's voice? Did you notice how Lance has grown up from season one to season eight?
It was a lot less bravado.
The tone is much more in control. You know, it was one of those subtle things. You know, it's kind of like the exact opposite of what I was doing with Zarkon. You know, the further you get into the series, you know, the first season is very much under control and everything's right there. And then toward the end, it's a lot more emotional. And everything's got to be done now. And it's a lot more, you know, the cracks are starting to happen. Whereas with Lance, the cracks have been filled in.
Aww.
You know, and also when you add on top of not only his successes with you know, Team Voltron, but, you know, the, you know, being reunited with his family. Having his siblings tease him and him not even noticing, not even really caring, you know, because he's gotten so much ribbing from, from everyone else. And he survived so much, you know, that there's this maturity. I think if you go back into season one and kind of take a look and think of Lance going on a date with this older woman, you know... Well, she's like 10,000 years older than he is.
You kind of look at that and go, oh, poor Allura. And now we get to this point and you're like,
yeah. Yeah, and it makes a lot more sense. And it's workable, it's doable, it's possible because of who he has grown into.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they all had such incredible arcs, some of which were a little bit more subtle in moments than others, you know, which again, I think goes back to a rewatch.
Yeah.
You know, as you can go ahead and see the subtle changes in Hunk from 1 to 8. You know, I think Hunk's development is a lot more subtle.
It really is.
But, and of course, he's my favorite, so, you know, I pay a little bit more attention to the round fellow who enjoys the food.
We are not in any capacity biased towards our favorites, I say as someone who named us all after the color and insisted that everyone dressed to color. Like, yeah, we're not. Of course not. But this turns into this wonderful date. He brings her home to meet the family. We get these really nice conversations and just, you know, stories from when they're kids. And Lance must really like you. He's never brought a girl home before. The whole ladies' man thing is just bravado, but under that, he's a really good guy. And it's like, yes, and we got to see all that develop over these past few seasons. Mm-hmm.
Well, and just the artwork when they're walking in the park. And,
oh, my God, yes.
The wildlife gets restored back to life. It's just a beautiful, it's just a beautifully composed moment.
And then Beezer just showing up and taking the picture. Like, aww. Were you following them? Are you date crashing? Beezer, what the hell?
I mean, my knee-jerk reaction was never say I love you on a first date. Don't do that. Don't pull a How I Met Your Mother. But that being said, they've fought alongside each other.
Right.
For
I mean, it's one of those things. It is a first date, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know? And that's actually one of the reasons why I think the title Launch Date works really well. Because it wasn't their first date. It was their launch date. It was where they went somewhere else. You know, I mean, if you think about what most first dates should be like, we're going to leave my social life alone.
Well, it's a lot of getting to know you.
Right,
yeah,
and they've been doing that. So that part of the first date, I mean, how many first dates do you really bring someone home to meet your family?
Yeah.
However, when you've spent years with somebody, that's a different story. And yeah, there are millions of stories of friendship which turns elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and so, okay, we're shifting somewhere else. I mean, quite frankly, if it wasn't a date, Lance probably still would have brought her to meet his family.
Yeah.
You know, because she's been such an important part of his life. I mean, she's one of the two main influences that has changed his life so much, that has accelerated his maturity, his growth, his development as a person, as a man, as a hero, as a member of society. You know, it's basically all mostly influenced from Allura and Voltron, and then of course from the other members of Voltron, but the two main factors to me are Voltron and Allura.
Yeah, and he's become the right arm of Voltron. He has settled very well into that role, and that's not something he would have been at all prepared for at the beginning of the series. But at this point, after this development, after this many years in space, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we did good by Lance, I think.
She teaches by example all the time. And yeah, after spending so much time together, there's no way that wouldn't rub off on him or affect him in any way.
And we can't move forward without talking about Coran's robe.
Oh my God. I was going to say, speaking of moving forward, we have a lot to talk about.
The most interesting man in the galaxy. Not only the gorgeous man, but the most interesting man in the galaxy.
Where did he get that portrait of him in Alphor? Where did that come from?
I just love how the voice changed. It was, okay. You know, talking about the changes in delivery. The way Reese delivered those lines was just so spot on.
Well, because he was playing all the different levels of Coran's concern and devotion, not only to Allura, but also to Alphor. Mm. You know, I mean, he's got a dedication to the family to do things the right way. And regardless of his own personal admiration for any one of the team members, you know, he's been Altaian a lot longer than he's been a member of Team Voltron. And certainly he's served that household for longer than he's been a member. And so that's his natural instinct, is I don't care how much I like you or I approve of you. This is the way it's done, young man.
You have to make it through the job application process.
Where are your notarized references? It's like, college applications. Oh, God. But yeah, we do need to get the ball rolling. Again, I can't see the timer. I have
Mr. Timer.
Our usual screen that tells us how to breathe is blank right now, so we're flying blind. It's going to be great. Yeah, we have to touch on Luca before we move on to next episode.
Oh, my goodness.
We have to touch on this Altaian that I thought was a battery for the suit and I guess is an actual pilot, and she is not in any capacity happy to be here.
No. Yeah, the fact that when we actually get a scene with her, she immediately calls Romel a traitor, and then as she you see the levels of her fanaticism very, very quickly. And so, like, seeing that, it's very unsettling, and then seeing how it escalates to the point where apparently Honerva just has like a kill switch that she can flip when somebody starts getting a little too chatty.
It's like the cyanide tooth, but someone else crunches it for you.
Oh, jeez. It's one of the darker, like, for such a lighthearted episode.
You ever see
episode?
The Belko experiment?
Yeah, oh my.
Now that we've just blown out the audio levels.
Sorry.
But yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I am just too much I'm a pop culture storehouse. Sorry.
But yeah, such a lighthearted, fun, sweet episode, you got to throw a little bit of darkness in there to remind everybody of the stakes.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like I was saying about over the weekend about the bottle episodes. There are none, really, because there's always something which is going to tie you back into the greater tale. And that's certainly that moment that we can't this can't just be about this date. And it can't just be about we're about to leave Earth and go on this, you know, on this important mission. You know, we also need to be reminded that there is a dark force out there that's going to be cranking out some evil.
Yep. We have the timer back and that's why we like to have the timer with us all episodes. Uh-oh. So we can plan better. Right. So before we move on to this next episode, we do have an announcement for you guys.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
If you want to know when we go live, exactly when we go live, the best thing to do is subscribe to the channel and hit that notification button, because then it will tell you when we go live. Also, the other best way you can support this show, iTunes, review, 5 stars, because there are 5 lions and you cannot have Voltron without it. We really super appreciate it. We give you shout-outs and we have a little more time, but for now we're going to do names.
Real quick, D9276 and Jenna Juarez. You guys are so sweet.
We love you guys.
You guys are the best. And I don't remember if we got to this one last time. There's no... The username is just a bunch of emojis, but this person just wrote a very nice review, called it's the final countdown. You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you, emoji people. We love you. Very much.
There are lots of hearts.
So, yeah, leave your reviews, leave your comments, subscribe, all of those wonderful things. Yes, that is how you keep this show going. Let's talk about Eat, Pray, Love. Let's talk about the aptly named
Shadows
with as much time as we have, because this episode is nothing but time, honestly. We got a whole bunch of the very far back past, and we got a whole bunch of the recent past.
Yep.
I really liked how the episode played around with time. It would go back to when she was Honerva, and then it would jump ahead to when she's, you know, dismantling the Galra Empire. It would go back and forth. It was really cool seeing that initial happy optimism of when they're expecting parents and then contrasting that with the Empire is in, you know, in rubble, basically. And then, you know, going back to when they first awoke after they both died. And, like, that was rough. But at the same time, all of the pieces fall into place and you know exactly why these people have treated each other the way they have.
You have a much better idea, sure.
And I love the changes that we saw between the two, because Onerva, who was this incredibly driven woman to her own detriment and death, completely loses her memories, completely loses herself, whereas Zarkon, who is shown to be a kinder ruler, almost takes on that driven, depersonified, it's terrifying, and I love it. And I love that you can see this.
Well, I mean, but if you think about when they're talking about naming the child, and mm-hmm. she talks about a scholar, and he talks about a benevolent conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's not talking about a benevolent ruler. He's talking about somebody who conquered, but was still kind of nice about it.
Yeah, nice conquering. Yeah, hey, guys, can exactly. I have this territory? Thanks.
I'll be good to you.
I know.
And I think some of that was still there, you know, with Zarkon. He just didn't have time for the other stuff. You know, it was just one of these, look, you do what I tell you to do, everything will be good. Everything will be fine. We'll keep the water flowing, you know?
Well, and we also saw that it went from two very excited prospective parents to someone who was traumatized by childbirth and someone who wants nothing to do with
their
kid.
Well, neither one of them wanted him, you know, when he arrived, because they had both been changed so drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never even really got a reason. He just said, take him away. Take him away. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to deal with him. You know, is that because somewhere inside Zarkon it created too much, you know, subconscious pain because it was a link to something that was no longer there? Was it a matter of this is something I don't have time for because I'm driven and this is all that matters is running this empire? We don't know. We just know he just wanted nothing to do with this situation.
It's possible that part of him died and did not come back.
Do you think it was a conscious decision that he made when he realized Onerva didn't remember who he was?
No, because I think because he asked, don't you remember your emperor? He didn't say, don't you remember your husband?
That's true.
Or don't you remember me? He said, don't you remember your emperor? You know. By the way, internet... You told me that I was in Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm really happy that you did. But nobody told me I had a scene with myself in this episode. I mean, I did record it, you know, but I guess I've forgotten the intervening time, and I'm listening on. I don't hear myself that often, but I'm thinking that sounds like me. Yeah, I was the guy who said, hey, Hagar, are you okay? Hagar, I like that. You know, so it's like, I was on both ends of that name, I guess. So, yeah, I was in the scene twice.
That it completely slipped by me.
Well, and the thing that got me is like all the other stuff that I've done, you know, I do something to adjust my voice, and that was just me. That was just bleep, just nice and normal, and that's why I'm going, do people not hear my regular voice enough where they can't even recognize that? I mean, they say, I hear Madara Uchiha in that, or I hear Dominus Gall, I hear all of the other things you've ever played, but what do you sound like?
A person?
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Like yeah, but wasn't, you know, even though he was going through a rough time, wasn't little Lotor adorable?
He was so cute. Yeah.
He's a cat person. I can appreciate that.
Which I think was probably the main reason that Zarkon didn't like him. Zarkon's, Zarkon's a dog guy, I'm pretty sure. I'm
Zarkon
pretty sure.
Piloted a lion.
That was before.
Okay.
That's why he's like all cats. Ugh.
So dying turns you into a dog person?
Yeah, I don't think it was that he died. I think it may, well, I'm not going to blame Quintessence for me loving Buster, okay? Aww. So...
oh, no, dogs
let's
are
not,
adorable.
Let's not go
Buster's
there.
Buster's a okay. good, good boy. Let's
yes,
not.
Yes,
dogs not are adorable. Dog I'm being but, a nerd.
But yeah, I mean, we certainly saw that, and that there was not so much about the cats, but the affection for a pet for a quote unquote lesser being, shall we say?
What was kind of really telling too is like. They didn't make a big deal about it in the episode itself, but Minerva killed that cat. She puts it on. She puts it on a thing. She gets flashes of where Lotor is currently at,
checking his social media in the void.
And then we cut to a wider shot, and that cat is gone.
As is the flame from the Kral Zara.
Maybe he ran away because he got startled.
He was like, "Oh goodness!"
That cat lived for 10,000 years, and then.
Whoops!
That's a bummer. You live through how much?
And then it ran away and continued to live a happy life and found a new forever.
I'm pretty sure that cat's living somewhere in an asteroid field, just going, "Wow, those people were horrible."
That was a trip.
I'm much better off on this rock out in the middle of nowhere.
Somewhere in my fanfic, that's the cat who was actually in the movie Cat from Outer Space back
Perfect.
In the 70s.
There you go.
You know, with Dean Jones.
I do want to point out for Biddy Lotor that the scene with naming the cat starts with Zarkon talking down to him, and you may be the prince, but I'm your emperor, and you'll do what I say. And then he turns around and uses that exact line on Minerva. Like, oh, yeah, no, he's still learning. It's not great lessons, but he's learning.
And I think it's a good lesson. It's just not put in the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like saying, look, you may be the branch manager, but I'm the district manager. You know, it's like, fair enough. Got it.
Well, what I was really surprised by with all of these flashback sequences where this, sadly, you know, family that's together, you know, without really fully knowing that they're a family for some people. But, like, what I was really surprised by was that Lotor was telling 100% the truth when he talked about that planet that got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of expecting that we'd get some reveal about how he was hiding a little bit more nefarious intent, or that he wasn't telling the full story when he related to Allura, but nope, that's exactly what happened, and it's just as tragic as it sounds.
And I love that they, like, we're gonna keep you alive long enough for you to see this, and then we're gonna exile you. It's like one of those things where you go in, you destroy the entire village, but you leave one child. Like, no, that child is going to come back and exact revenge. I mean, why would you? Okay.
That's just Zarkon's way of saying
would you
you're
let
grounded,
go of
right?
the Game of Thrones spoilers, please? Stop it.
That's every fantasy, everything, though.
Okay, good point.
But, like, that's just Zarkon's way of saying you're grounded, go to your room, right?
Pretty much. I mean, it's like, look, your colony would have been fine if you just would have done what you were told to do. And now I'm going to show you the price of your insolence. You know? I mean, but realistically, most people who are leading, who are in charge of a team, they'll accept punishments toward themselves and not necessarily learn or grow. But if you punish the team, you know, do what you want to me, but leave the girl alone. You know, the old line, which of course was changed to do whatever you want to the girl, but leave me alone. You know, that was a comedian back in the 70s. So stop with your complaining. But seriously, that's, you can't, you, he couldn't teach Lotor that lesson. And I frankly think that it was a lesson that was intended to make him a better emperor, you know, to mold him, or not necessarily better, but better in Zarkon's eyes. You know, this is how we
His
do
version
things.
Of better, yeah.
Right. You know, so it's like, you disobeyed me, you went in your own direction. If I continue to let you do this, you know, before I know it, there's going to be an uprising. because you're gonna go from a planet to a solar system to a galaxy, and then I'm gonna have to really deal with you, you know. And I don't want to do that. So I'm gonna make these people who you care about pay the price for your disrespect, for your breaking the rules. And, you know, I mean, that's when you want to get your point across to somebody who leads a team, that's how you do it. You know, it's the old, if we don't have somebody admit their guilt, everybody's doing push-ups.
Yeah.
Everyone is Spartacus.
Right.
I feel like, regardless, that conversation probably would have gone better if Lotor hadn't pushed the mom button.
Ooh.
Like, that went from a check-in on the status of this planet to a full-on family argument, and that's when it gets
again,
ugly.
Because you're not going through the proper chain of command. You're not doing things the right way. You're trying to short-circuit the situation by bringing somebody else in who you think is going to make me change my mind. And let me show you how much I'm not going to change my mind. Let me show you, I agree with you that maybe he would have gone Thanos and gone, I'm just going to kill one out of every two. You know? Just going to kill half. But then he had to go and do and challenge even further. And it's like, I've got to quash this now before this spark becomes a flame.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's harsh, and we certainly as fans and as people who like to see the right thing happen, that hurts.
There's
But if you divorce yourself from the emotion of it and just you understand why he did it. You completely understand why he did it, and it's not Zarkon's fault, it's Lotor's. No, Zarkon had no other choice. You know, he was trying to keep things in check. If Lotor really cared about those people, you know, he'd have at least stayed a little closer to what he was supposed to do. You know, it's like, you know, try taking an inch before you take a mile.
Well, that's why, like, when you rule through fear, it's so fragile. Once that illusion, you know, in some cases, illusion of power, you know, is, once that's challenged, it's nothing. Yeah.
Technically, all power is an illusion.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, there are stories of the indomitable spirit of mankind and someone being in, you know, I mean, Nelson Mandela, for crying out loud. There you go. Nelson Mandela didn't break, even though he had the entire, you know, nation of South Africa against him. And he was in solitary confinement for so long that power never touched him. It put him somewhere physically, but he never bought into it. And so it never broke him. All power is an illusion. You know, except for just the downright, you know, physical aspect of blowing up a planet. That's not an illusion. That's real. You know, yeah, the Death Star was just an illusion to the people on Alderaan.
You know? All of these Gull cruisers, all illusory.
But yet, at a certain point, did that get them to give up the plans? Did they turn around and go, oops, I better go ahead and give you what you want now that you blew up a planet? So at a certain point, because they're trying to make a point, and that point was not made. That point was not taken into account. So even then, the power is just an illusion. You know, there's the physical aspects, and then the human spirit rises above it and says, you know, I will not be denied. And you can keep punching me, and you can keep punching my friends, but we're gonna keep moving forward. And even that illusion of that power eventually fell to the
scrappy rebellion.
Absolutely, the scrappy rebellion, the power of hope, the power of a team, you know, the power of positivity, of wanting something better for others rather than just ourselves.
And this is why the power of friendship is such a well-known trope and kind of what the show runs on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because even in the darkest moments, they turn to each other. And that's what happened in season one when they finally were able to form Voltron, is they turned toward each other, you know? And that's... I think this was just kind of another way of setting that up, of saying, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn, you know, or as I like to say sometimes, it's always darkest before it gets darker.
The light at the end of the tunnel is the light of an oncoming train.
I feel like you've summed up this season in a nutshell.
Speaking of summing up, we are officially out of time. Okay.
Nicely done.
Unison. We've got just a little bit more, like, Onerva. Here, I'm going to take this colony of Altaians, and I'm going to sway them very easily to my side because my son is still alive. For our audio listeners, there were scare quotes around that.
He's
alive.
He's Schrodinger's emperor, okay? So...
Schrotor.
There you go.
He's only it's a good Galra name. Dead.
He's only
dead if you open up the box and confirm that he's dead.
Oh no!
I mean, we can't go into spoiler territory.
I'm not spoiling nothing. I'm talking about Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
Is that why she got rid of the cat?
Yes, because the cat confirmed where Lotor was.
So deep. We're back to the cat.
Yeah, we have essentially turned this entire colony of Altaians against Voltron. Be like, yeah, we picked them up. Well, what about the other colony? Voltron got them. They're not super dead because I don't know their location or anything.
Say what you will about Onerva, but she dots her I's and crosses her T's.
She can, yes, and with the best of them. Took them all to Orion because I guess all of them were worthy and the Guardian had nothing to say while she was melting down statues and making it an industrial wasteland and just like... Thank you for breaking El Dorado.
One of the joys of season eight for me was really getting to enjoy Kree just letting it rip a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was some good stuff in
this. As you folks will see when you get to the future episodes.
There's some good stuff this season.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. But yeah, we have desecrated Orion, as it were, made some war machines, and get the most faithful among us, put a kill switch in her head, and then send her off to go get Voltron. Like, yikes! She's got a cult of personality going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lotor started it, and she just picked it up and sprinted.
Well, and like... It's just so cool because in a very short amount of time, she knocks out all of the remaining large players in the Galra Empire. She wipes them out and then, takes this colony for herself. So she's not messing around.
She basically just blows it up from the inside out. Hey, here's your leadership choosing thing that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I've killed your archivist and destroyed all of your everything. Bye. Yikes.
Yeah. I don't know what to say because we're supposed to be wrapping up, so I don't want to take the conversation somewhere where it's going to get going again, you know?
Onerva is someone to be reckoned with, and we have a nice little episode about getting things going again and being hopeful, and then we have an episode about, here's what you missed on Glee. Awful, awful things.
It's, you know, it Yeah. You know, every now and then, especially after this episode, it can make you think or make you wonder whether that was her sort of initial hope when she was looking into the quintessence, you know, was...
World domination? Shorthand.
Try universal domination, and would this lead to... You know, hey, I mean, some people believe that peace is achieved by everybody just going, and some people believe that peace is achieved by having a very powerful person in charge and telling everybody what to do. You know, and was, I mean, was there the devil on her shoulder steering her in that direction?
It's entirely possible that if things had not gone down the way they did, Honerva would have been like the head of an Altaian empire like we had in that one multiverse episode.
We saw that AU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where that was messed up.
So, Honerva could have been that dictator. You know?
Yeah.
Where it's like peace through force.
Well, we're going to have some super fun stuff to talk about in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, that is all the time we have and more.
How does that always happen when I show up?
It happens for every episode of this show.
Oh, thanks.
It's everyone. We always have so much fun talking with all the wonderful people who join us.
Okay.
Speaking of, where can the people find you?
After some of the things that have happened this weekend, I don't know if I want to be found.
Fair enough.
Hopefully coming to a convention near you soon. Kneecap on Twitter, Kneecap Picks on Instagram, and Neil Kaplan Voice Actor on Facebook.
And do you have any upcoming projects
that
you can
I'm
tell
allowed
us about?
To talk about?
Yep.
Not a
the
single
NDA
one.
So follow the social medias and we'll find out later.
Exactly.
All right.
Yep, 10% of my DNA is NDA.
Oh my God, I need that on a shirt. That's great. Well, thanks again for coming in. It's always a blast to have
thanks
you
Thanks for
on.
The invitation. I was wondering what the room looked like from this side.
Welcome to the table!
It's kind of creepy.
Such is anyway. It.
Those moving
thanks
monitors
again.
Are hypnotic.
Kind of
very distracting.
All right, Megan.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's TheMenguin.
Blue Lion Alexis Taurus is at ATaurus890. Red Lion Emma5 is at Emma5. Yellow Lion Mark Donica is at Mark B. Donica. I am Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I also do unboxing videos for Fanversation. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time at our usual time, Mondays at 7.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.